Hey, morning church. It's so good to be speaking in all our Icon Church campuses this morning, and I'm really excited because I get to speak and launch a series all about the Holy Spirit. And you know, the purpose of this series is because I feel God wants to generate a hunger in us as Icon Church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God wants us to lean into the work of the Spirit in our lives and in our church today. Now, you may say, Paul, you know, I was filled with the Holy Spirit many years ago. People in Stocksbridge, in Sheffield, in Chesterfield and Derby, you may say, I experienced the Holy Spirit many years ago, and that's fantastic. Maybe you've been to an Alpha Holy Spirit Day and you had some encounter with the Holy Spirit then. I want to remind us right at the beginning that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament teaches us that being with the Holy Spirit is a continual experience. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's continuous. You might have some questions about the Holy Spirit. And I pray and I believe that in this series, we'll be able to answer some of those. You may even be in our campuses today or watching online today and saying, I'm not sure really, Paul, whether I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, my prayer is that through this series, you will experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit and that you will know the Holy Spirit's power in your life. So the title of this message, the first message in this series, is Jesus the Baptizer. But we need to start before Jesus with John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. So I want to read a verse to you to get us going this morning. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And it says this. I baptize you. This is John the Baptizer speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you. He's speaking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And as we look into it, we pray, come and baptize us. Jesus, come and baptize us. Again, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And a faith-filled Icon Church said, amen. John the Baptist was a wild man. He loved the outdoors. If you heard Pastor PJ, who was with us last week, PJ Stenstrand, he loves the outdoors. Every year he goes on a trip and goes exploring somewhere. This year he went out into the Arctic areas. He was camping out in minus 30 degrees. He just loved the outdoors. Well, John lived in the outdoors, but he didn't live in minus 30 degrees. He actually lived in the desert. And John's clothes, the Bible tells us, were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. And his food, Matthew tells us, was locusts and wild honey. Now, I think I can cope with wild honey. How about you? Like a bit of honey? Wild honey, but crunchy locust? I don't think I'm going there. And John is a prophet like Elijah, the Old Testament prophet Elijah. In fact, he's a fanboy. He's like an Elijah tribute band. His ministry is modeled on Elijah. And I was thinking about this because recently I attended a church service and the worship team finished the worship moment in church with the famous hymn, How Great Thou Art. You know it, it goes, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. And I was thinking about this because I turned to the pastor as they're doing this song and I said, they're doing this in the style of Elvis. And I'm not joking, you know, the person leading the song had the Elvis moves at the end, and yet even did, you know, on that big How Great Thou Art finish, even did the Elvis lunge. Now at Icon Church, we love having fun in church, so I thought we might just recreate that moment. So I'm going to hand over right now to the creative team. I love that. You know, there's never a dull moment. There should have been never a dull moment in church life. The purpose of that is to link John the Baptist with Elijah and that John the Baptist was prophesying in the spirit and the power and the style of Elijah. And there was no coincidence, because the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, tell us this: "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." John is Elijah, the Elijah that was to come. He's not just a fanboy, he's not just a tribute band. He's the Elijah that the prophets forecast and promised, and he's pointing to Jesus, preparing the way of Jesus. And John begins to preach in the desert. He begins to preach and he begins to baptize people in water. And his baptism is based on the preaching of repentance. He says to the people, you need to repent. You need to turn towards God, and you need to turn to God for the forgiveness of sins. And his baptism is necessary. Malachi says, if this doesn't happen, then there's total destruction coming. If Elijah doesn't come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, if there's not this move of God that turns people back towards God, then destruction is coming. I think that's still true today. Well, if John's baptism was necessary, then the baptism of Jesus, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is even more necessary. Remember what John said in those opening verses: "The one who comes after me is greater than me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. He's actually going to baptize you. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, some people miss this, but Jesus actually continued John's message. He preached a similar message to John and baptized people himself in water. In fact, in John chapter 4 and verse 1, it tells us that Jesus and his disciples were preaching this message: repent, turn, be forgiven, move towards God, avoid destruction. And it tells us that Jesus was baptizing and gaining more disciples than John. But the thing about Jesus the baptizer is Jesus doesn't just baptize us in water. He promises to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see a picture of what it means to be baptized. The word baptized means to immerse, to dip, to submerge. And I'm going to baptize this character right now. Now, I don't know who this is. I was going to baptize Spider-Man. I've got Spider-Man. Actually got him in my pocket, but he's a lot smaller than this guy, and Jeannie found him, so I thought we'd baptize this guy. It's part of being grandparents. You've got all kinds of stuff lying around your house. But to be baptized means to submerge, to immerse, and to dip. It's all right. He's a character. He'll live. You see, Jesus is going to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. It means that we will be completely surrounded. That character baptized was completely surrounded with water. The baptism that Jesus has for you and me is that we will be completely, our lives, our family, our hearts, our minds will be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. Baptism means to be completely full. And that's why it's often called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That when we're baptized, we are full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that so much so, the Spirit within us, out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. Why? Because we're not just submerged and surrounded, we're also full. The New Testament teaches us that the church community is full, surrounded, and submerged in the Holy Spirit. We could call the church a community of the Spirit. And Jesus wants to baptize us and fill us, and he wants to baptize you so that as a person that you are submerged, surrounded by the Holy Spirit, but also that you are full of the Spirit, and out of your innermost being flows those rivers of living water that come from the Holy Spirit, that your life is full and surrounded by this activity of the Holy Spirit. Let me share why this matters, because I believe that without the Holy Spirit, human defaults aren't always good, aren't always healthy. Here's a few, I think, that we see in our own lives and we see in the lives of others. You know, one of the human defaults we see so often is pride. is pride in our lives. But you know, when we're full of the Holy Spirit and we start to become like Jesus, it leads us to deep humility. A second default in human life is indifference. Everything is bland. Life can become meh. It just becomes flat. But when we're full of the Spirit, when we led into and led by the Spirit into Christ-likeness, we gather a burning passion. Just think for a moment about the passion of the Christ, the final week of Jesus' life, that passion that took him to the cross, that, because he loved us so much, where when Jesus is in the garden and he knows what he's facing, he's so passionate, he says, God, you know, if this can be taken from me, please do it, but in the end, not my will, but your will be done. He is so passionate. He's not indifferent. He's got passion. A third default of the human spirit and the human life is anxiety. And we're seeing this more and more and more in the generations that are around. We're seeing this more and more in conversations. More and more of us are suffering with anxiety. But when we're full of the Holy Spirit, you become a person of courage, a person of boldness, a person of faith. And I want that for you, and I want that for me. Don't you want that for yourself? Of course we do. We don't want to be full of anxiety. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus can do that for us today. And then just the last default I'll share is worldly motivation. So often, you know, the human default is just to be motivated by all kinds of things in life, by stuff, by greed, by position, by status, by image, whatever it is. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a godly motivation. A few more thoughts around baptism. Let me just share these with you. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul writes to the church and he talks about the Old Testament believers, the Old Testament people of God. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate from the same spiritual food and they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. You see, this is telling us that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus filling us with the Spirit, is a gateway. It's a gateway to a few things. It's a gateway to a new identity. We recognize as we're filled with the Spirit that we are part of the people of God. We recognize that we're distinct, that we are different, that we are chosen, that we are called. Do you know that today, that you are chosen by God and you are called? The baptism in the Holy Spirit will give you that confidence. We recognize that we are new creatures in Christ. I remember, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit or experiencing the Holy Spirit for the first time at 13 years of age. And I was like an insecure, I was a shy teenager, but God filled me with His Spirit. And over time, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life made me realize that I was called, I was chosen, I had a purpose in my life, that I was distinct and I was different. And you know, that this baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us a new identity, but it gives us a unique call and purpose. There's something for you and there's something for me that God has put within us to do in our life. There's a unique call and purpose. This baptism, this infilling of the Holy Spirit by Jesus empowers us. It gives us an empowering from God. A very famous verse is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," even to the places where we have campuses today. There's an empowering from God. Jesus filling us, Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit promises to us that there will be this supernatural presence that goes with us. Remember those verses? It talked about those Old Testament believers, that they were baptized in this cloud. There was this cloud that followed them. There was this fire that was amongst them, that we would know the supernatural presence of God. And I believe this morning as we launch this series, God is saying, that's what I want to do for you. I want to immerse you. I want to surround you with the person and activity of the Holy Spirit. I want to fill you with the Spirit so that out of your being flows living water. I want you to know your true identity as a child of God. I want you to know your call, your purpose, and I want you to know my power, and I want you to know my presence. I believe that's what God wants to do for us. So, there's three things I want to share that the Holy Spirit will do. Three reasons that Jesus wants to baptize us continuously in the Holy Spirit. Let me just say that again. Three reasons Jesus wants to baptize us continuously in the Holy Spirit. Here's the first. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Let's read John 16, verses 12 and 13 together. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. I have much more to say to you, much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He'll say it for me. He will not speak on His own. He will speak what He hears from me, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus says, I've got much more to say to you. I've not finished. I've not finished speaking. Yeah, I've said enough. And my future words will not contradict the words that I've already said. But I'll be still speaking. I'll be speaking to you throughout your life. But it will be the Holy Spirit when He comes. He will continue to speak for me. And there are personal words that Jesus wants to say to you. There are personal promises that Jesus wants to give to you that through the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. Our enemy, Jesus teaches us, trades in lies. Lies that kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will lead us away from those lies, and He will lead us into truth. And you know, I believe this matters so much in our day right now, 2023, because there is so much confusion. Like in my lifetime, I have never been experiencing so much confusion in society. And it's confusion often that produces anxiety. And you know, believing the lies of the enemy, believing the confusion of the enemy sometimes can be fatal. Because confusion leads to disorder. And it literally can be a matter of life and death for people. They don't want to live. They don't know how to live because they are so confused. And so I want to be super clear this morning in Icon Church. I want to be absolutely as clear as I can be this morning. I want to tell you, God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. That comes from somewhere else. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 says this, "For God is not a God of disorder or of peace, but of peace, as in the meetings of all God's people." That word disorder can mean confusion. It can mean disturbance. It can mean upheaval. It can mean anarchy. God is not the author of that. One translation just says God is not the author of confusion. And I want you to know this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are in any of our campuses, online, joining us today, you are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You are not a mistake. You are loved by God and you are chosen by God. You are precious in God's sight. You could not be more loved by God. The Bible tells us that this is how God shows how much He loves us, that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and died for us. It says it like this. It says, even while we were still sinners. It's making the point that even when we'd not done anything to deserve the love of God, God loved us already. Even when we'd not proven that we were worth loving, God loved us so much that Jesus would die for us. You're not a mistake. You are chosen by God and you are loved by God. And the flourishing in life that you seek, because God has put that in each and every one of us, it's not found anywhere other than in relationship with Jesus. It's not found anywhere, including radical surgeries. It's found in a relationship with Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's my prayer that every person who's in any of our campuses or who sees this message allows Jesus to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, because the flourishing you seek is in there. I believe God wants to set you free. If you're confused today, He wants to set you free. The Holy Spirit can do that. The confusion is not from God. It's from somewhere else. And God's Spirit leads to peace. That comes from God. God's Spirit leads to freedom. That comes from God. And God's Spirit leads to joy. That comes from God. Come on, we could all do with a bit more joy in our lives, couldn't we? John chapter 8, verses 31, 32, Jesus says this to the Jews who had believed Him. Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Holy Spirit leads us to truth, and the result of truth, the result of knowing the truth, is peace, freedom, and joy. Oh, I feel so excited right now. I feel so that God wants to do this in our lives. Peace, freedom, joy. The second reason Jesus wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit will remind us of the teaching of Jesus. Those words again in John 14. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Peace, Jesus said, I leave you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of everything that I have said. Jesus calls Him the Advocate, and that word means the person who comes alongside to help us. And this helper, this advocate, this Holy Spirit will remind us of the way of Jesus. It will remind us how to live a life like Jesus, to live a life of faith, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of righteousness. He will remind us of the way of Jesus, a way that leads to flourishing. And also this Holy Spirit, this advocate, this helper who comes and is alongside us, who surrounds us and fills us, He will direct us to peace. And He will lead us to this place of following Jesus, which leads us to peace. You know, the Hebrew people had this incredible idea of peace. It's called shalom, this word shalom. And some people have said that what that word means is nothing broken, nothing missing. It comes from the origin story of humans in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect. Man had a relationship with God, and everything was at this place of shalom. And I don't know, maybe God, you can sense today that God is calling you to a place of peace, a place of shalom. I love that. I love the fact that the Jewish people greet each other with this word, shalom. You know, we say hello, don't we, or shalom. And the idea behind shalom is God's very best for you. God's very best is our desire for you. I mean, we have different greetings. In different parts of the UK, you can find different greetings, can't you? Like, all right, hey up, hey up me duck, hiya. I remember Jeannie and I lived in Buxton for a year, and everybody was, hiya. And like, at first, what are people saying? I realized this was the greeting. In some parts of our nation, the greeting is sup, sup. In the Northeast, it's orit, you know. But I love this greeting, shalom, peace. I want God's very best for you. And I think it's needed today. A couple of years ago, I said this, pace is not our biggest problem. The speed of life, the speed of everything in our world has become a problem, but it's not our biggest problem. Peace is. And I feel today that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of the way and teaching of Jesus, because that leads to peace. Shalom. You know, we can feel pressured to live a certain way, just to live like everybody else, just to live in those default modes as humans. But Jesus says to us, follow me, let me fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will know my peace. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of the teaching of Jesus. He reminds us of what Jesus said, because His words bring life. I was telling somebody this last week, the story of when I had Bell's palsy. Some of you will remember, and this left-hand side of my faith just died. It dropped. It wouldn't move. None of the nerve endings in the left-hand side of my face would move at all. And I remember later on, the consultant saying to me, "Paul, you had the worst level of Bell's palsy that you could have." And often that leaves a residue, and people don't fully recover. And yet you recovered in like 2 weeks. That's a miracle. That consultant said that to me. But you know what happened to me was it started on a Thursday and it was really bad. You know, Friday I was in the hospital and seeing if what was going on with my face. Got worse Saturday. Sunday I was in church, and in church, in the worship, I was praying. I was saying, "Lord, I don't think I'm going to do anything from the stage because this isn't a good look for Icon Church." And the Lord said to me, "I want you to carry on, Paul." The Holy Spirit spoke these words. "I want you to carry on." And he reminded me of something Jesus had said to the man with the withered hand. You remember, he was hiding the hand away. He'd got a good hand and a withered hand. And he said, "I want you to stretch out your hand and it will be made whole like the other." And I felt God in that moment remind me of the words of Jesus. And it became a promise. And I was laying hands on my face every day and believing it and speaking those words, it will be restored just like the other. And in 2 weeks, it was back to normal with no residue. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the words of Jesus when you need them in your life. He will remind you of the ways of Jesus. He prayed to the Father. He reminds you so that you pray. He spoke peace into storms. He's reminding you of that today because you need to speak peace into some of your storms. Jesus forgave. He loved. He served others. He worshiped. He was fun. Maybe God's reminding you of that today. And he lived, Jesus, by the word of God. The Holy Spirit will remind us of the teaching of Jesus and how we need that. And then the final thing is that the Holy Spirit will give us power to live for Jesus. The reason Jesus wants us to be baptized, to be filled, surrounded, immersed, and full of the Spirit is that he will give us the power to live. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 again, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Someone said this: the Christian life isn't difficult, it's impossible. And whilst that can sound discouraging, I think it's true. It's true because we need help. We need a power beyond our own strength, beyond our own strength to live for God. And so the Father sent the Holy Spirit, and Jesus wants to fill us, baptize us in the Spirit. "I will ask the Father," remember he said, "and he will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." It says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, surrounded, and he will be in you, full. In you and with you, baptized in the Holy Spirit. As I said at the beginning, it's my prayer that we would have a hunger for that today, that we would have a hunger to be being continuously full of the Spirit, because he is an advocate who will help us. God himself, the Spirit, becomes our helper for us to live for him. I think someone's getting ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Is that you? Somebody's getting ready to be refilled and refired by the Spirit. You see, this baptism by Jesus in the Holy Spirit transforms us. Transforms us over time as we live with the Holy Spirit, as we experience the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle lists some of the fruits the Holy Spirit produces in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit leads us to embrace kingdom values and kingdom culture. He produces in us the character of Jesus. Paul also teaches us that the Holy Spirit empowers us, and he gives us supernatural gifts, makes them available to us to live for him. Gifts like faith, speaking in other tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles, wisdom, discernment. The Holy Spirit will give these and many more to us. He gives us the power to live for Jesus. So many times Jeannie and I have needed this. Sometimes regarding our health, like the story I've just told earlier. Sometimes in our family, with our children, in our parenting, with our finances, we've needed a breakthrough. Sometimes in leadership and the things God has called us to do, in making choices, in our careers, we have needed so much the wisdom, the discernment, the faith of God. Well, the Holy Spirit can provide that for us. You see, when Jesus said, "You shall receive power," he used the word dunamis. And we get this word from dunamis, dynamite. The Holy Spirit can be like a dynamite that brings breakthrough. I just sense today that there are people who need breakthrough. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive your breakthrough today in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, grab that, believe it today. The other word that comes from dunamis is dynamo. This is this supernatural, continual energy. This energy to be sustained, to keep going, to be preserved in a victorious state. I believe there are people today who need to receive that breakthrough, need to receive that power to be preserved in a victorious state. It's for you today. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will give us power to be witnesses, to testify to others who Jesus is and what he can do, because we have experienced it ourselves. And there's something you can never deny experience. You can argue with me. You can win the argument with me. But if I've got an experience, you can't deny my experience. And I can never deny my experience of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So I'm closing. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And my encouragement to us as Icon Church and to you as an individual today is be filled with the Holy Spirit. As I say that, I believe God wants to do it right now in our services, in our campuses. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. Come to him today and let him fill you. Even if you're not a believer, you can decide today to follow Jesus and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will do for you the things that I have been declaring today. You can know the truth. Every person in our campuses, you can know the truth. If you're confused, if you're anxious, he can lead you into the truth which leads you to peace today. He will remind you of the teaching of Jesus. You will have the wisdom to live in a way that brings life and brings joy, brings peace and brings freedom. And he will give you the power, the supernatural power to live for him. That when there are moments you need breakthrough, you can draw on that power for breakthrough. When you need moments of sustained energy, you're going through crisis, you're going through prolonged seasons in your life, you will have the energy of the Holy Spirit. You will be immersed, surrounded, and you will be filled so that what flows out of you is living water. Let Jesus fill you as an individual today with his Spirit. Don't brush this off because you were once filled. No, let him fill you afresh today with the Holy Spirit. Icon Church, I speak to us all as a community. Let us be filled. Let us be a community of the Holy Spirit, where everywhere we look, we see the activity of the Spirit of God at work. May God create a desire and a hunger, a desire for more of the Holy Spirit in us. Let God stir that in us today. Icon Church, I love you, and I believe that God is about to do great things in your life. I'm handing back now to campus pastors who are going to close our services. Thank you so much.